Hey, greetings, everybody. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, we are getting back to Matthew 13 in our verse-by-verse audio study. Last time we went through to verse 23. Today we're going to start at verse 24. You can go catch up at don'tperish.com, look up the verse-by-verse studies, or at the teaching blog, look up the verse-by-verse tab, catch up in the Matthew series. Hope it's a blessing to you saints and seekers listening in. So let's start. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Okay, so in this verse, this whole section above this has been about the parable of the sower. Christ is getting ready to go into like a deeper description of what the sower gospel is really about at its core. Here he mentions the kingdom of heaven and fields, and this is confirming to us this is about the truth of God going out into the world. We're going to read about that in a little bit. So these confirmations from Jesus are showing us what this means. Keep in mind, Christ did not come to just die and cover people's sins, and that's it. No, he came to show us who God was. He came to reveal the kingdom of God to us. He came to show us how to enter and live in the kingdom of God here on earth. The kingdom of God is within, right? Mark 1:15, and saying that the time's fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. So, just a little note there that a lot of people miss that it's all about, churchianity makes it all about his mission, just getting you to heaven, like a get out of hell card. And Jesus is like a little 2-hour treat on Sunday morning, and he's their ticket to heaven, but that's really a cheap, degrading, not a good view of the Messiah and all that he came to do and show us and reveal to the world and his people that will seek after him. I also want to note here that these parables are showing us that we're sowing the seeds of God's truth. So as we preach the gospel, witness the gospel, it's not on us where these seeds fall or what people do with them. It's on them. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So we only put the seed out there. We are not responsible for what people do with it. Remember that, saints. We're called to be faithful. We're not called to be successful with hundreds or 1,000 people following us around. In these last days, you're not going to find that many true saints. I don't see that many. I see a handful of scattered few saints. So remember that. Be faithful. Scatter the seed. Scatter the truth. It falls where it may, and let God and those people deal with it from there. Verse 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Okay, so here we see this evil act take place. Now, wheat, this is the people of God, we learned that, and they are mixed with tares. This would be the association or being associated of people of the world, of false religion, Satan, the enemy. All right, that word tear is interesting. Dizanion, it's a false wheat. It's a plant that looks like wheat, but it's false. It even has fruit that looks like wheat, but it's false. Isn't that interesting? That's what a tear is. It looks a lot like the real thing. And what I offer up to you is churchianity, way back then, whatever form of religion they had, but definitely churchianity today is a false way. It's not of God. It looks godly at times and has godly parts to it. 2 Timothy 3:5, Apostle Paul said, then the last days they'll be having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. So even false religion has an appearance of godliness or a form of it. Satan is a good enemy. He makes good counterfeit products, like a good counterfeit moneymaker. Amen? So this enemy of our Satan is being revealed in the verses that we'll be reading here. And he's a master of mixing lies with the truth. and his wicked workers being mixed in with the people around them, perhaps even the people of God. Paul warned about this. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Yeah, think about that. So men, ladies, saints, just because a man or a person says they're a Christian, or a man says he's a pastor, or they say they're of God, don't be deceived. Don't just believe them. Test their doctrine. Test their fruit. Be wise as a serpent. Don't give respect to titles or lip service. I just had a man tell me today he's been deceived by many modern pastors. Why? False modern pastors with false doctrine? Because he assumed if you have the title pastor, you should know better, you're more discerning, you should be truthful. Terrible assumption to make. Don't do that. Test fruit, test their doctrine. What do we know about people's lips? Matthew 15:8. These people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Yeah, we see that all over churchianity today. People say they love God, but they don't love to obey God. That means they don't really love God, according to 1 John 5:3. Keep that in mind. Also, I need to note, this is really important. You're either born in Christ or you're of the wicked one. There is no in between. You're either wheat or you're a tare. Churchianity, religious systems, denominations today, is not of Christ's full truth. So it's of the evil one. It's a good counterfeit. It's placebo Christianity. It's cultural Christianity. It's not holy and obedient. It's worldly and carnal. That should be a stark warning to everyone. You're either in Christ, born again, obeying him in holiness and fruit and obedience, or you're of the wicked one, whether you're of the world or churchianity or some other false faith system. Ponder that, will you? This parable of the sower is telling us that very clearly. Verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. All right, so this verse is saying the wheat is brought up and it's bringing fruit, and the tares pop up with it. Now remember, the tares have fruit too. And remember, a good counterfeit looks a lot like the truth, or it can't fool anybody. I always tell people, if you were going to print fake money, you better make it look real close to the real thing, or you're not going to fool anybody. That's what Satan does. He makes things look really close, and he deceives. That's what this wheat and this tares parable is telling us about. Now, in this parable, the field, what is that? Well, we know later, we're going to read it, verse 38, it's the world. It's not talking about the local body of Christ, okay? It's talking about the world, and we'll prove that when we get to verse 38. This does not mean, as I'm telling you this, that true saints are to stay with false converts or tares in a body. That's not what this means. Many, many scriptures command us to separate, call out, mark, and avoid heretics. Titus 3, Romans 16, 17, Titus, or, excuse me, 2 Thess 3. We're not to sit next to people that claim Christ and live sinfully. That's not what this is saying. This parable is speaking of the broader kingdom across the world, not a local, close, united fellowship of believers in 1 Corinthians 1:10, perfect unity. Again, see verse 38. The field is the world. This is talking about the entire world. God's truth and his people, and the entire world is filled with a bunch of tares. Also, I need to note, how could I look at a brother today who appears to be of God and say, you know what, I'm going to pluck him out. I think he's a tare. He's going to be a tare in the future. I'm going to pluck him out. I can't know this. I'm not God. I don't know the future. No, what do? We allow time, their obedience, their testimony, endurance, their fruit to determine all of this over time. And then we use either body discipline or whatever to deal with the situation. And that's what this parable is telling us. The wheat and the tares can look alike. It's not our job to call them out, pluck them out ahead of time. That's God's job. And we're going to see that's his angel with the sickle's job coming up. Over time, God is the one who adds. Remember this. God is the one who adds to his body, Acts 2. God said he added to the body as he saw fit at the end of Acts 2. And God's the one that takes away from his body. He killed Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5, a couple, and killed them, took them out of the body. Also in 1 Corinthians 11, it says he kills people, they get sick and they die, sleep, because they take the body and blood of Christ unworthily. God adds to the body, God takes away. We don't do that. Men, we don't do that. So we must be very careful there. The wheat and the tares is up to God to decide. We deal with fruit and open, unrepented, willful sin and separate from it. But God will decide in the end the wheat and the tares. Verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? 28. And he said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Will thou then we go and gather them up? So notice, this was good seed that was sown, right? Good seed was sown. It wasn't corrupt seed, but it's the evil one, the enemy, that mixed his corrupt ways into the good seed, false ways, lies in with it. Remember the thorns with the seeds that fall in the thorny ground, right? This can be that example. And this is likened to being in the world, but not of it. This is Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to the world. We can't leave the world, but we don't want to be of the world. Does that make sense? And so that's what this is referring to, that God's going to be the one to make that separation. We live obedient and holy. We make decisions based on Scripture. God makes decisions based on eternity from the wheat and the tares. So it's clear. If we look around, we got tares all around us in the culture, but this does not mean that they are left inside a local body and not dealt with through biblical separation and discipline. There can be no unity to sin. Paul confirmed this. He removed sinful others in 1 Corinthians 5, and Jesus as well tells us in Matthew 18, a brother who's in sin, put him out. Go to him alone, go to him by other brothers, go to him before the body, then put him out if he won't repent. So God's word helps us interpret God's word. I've heard people tell me, see, wheat and tares, you can't put a sinful person out of a local body because you don't know. That's not what this is teaching. This is about in the end, in eternity, and we're going to read. It's all about the reaping that is going to come. Notice also that Satan, the enemy, is given the full credit for this deception and destruction to come. Let's remember who he is. He's the father of lies and a murderer, per Jesus in John 8:44. He's the master of deception and resisting, rejecting God's truth, mimicking, copying God's truth to deceive people. Remember his work in the garden, Genesis 2, as he twisted God's word to deceive Eve, to bring man into the fall. And remember how he tried to tempt Jesus in Matthew 4, using God's word. Yeah, he's a formidable enemy, so we must be wise as serpents when dealing with this. Now, we read there the servants wanted to go and pull the tares out of the wheat, but this was not wise or even possible, and when we read on, we're going to see why. Verse 29, but he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Now, keep in mind, they're growing all together. Imagine a field. They're growing together. This is the field as a world, we know. They're all together. It's going to harm the wheat to act to remove them, is what this man is telling them. And also, we have to point out, it's very hard to even tell a wheat from a tare. Remember, the tare has fruit and looks just like the wheat until the full fruit has come, the full maturity has come, and harvest time has come. Yeah, then you're going to be able to tell the real from the fake. So the unknowing servant might toss out real wheat or rip up real wheat or disturb real wheat, and he's going after tares. It's not a wise thing to do. I think this also shows us God's long-suffering and mercy to not have us act in haste. It's all in good time. God, who's rich in mercy, is going to decide who's a tare of Satan, and he will decide who is the wheat of him, the Most High, and it all will play out. Remember this reaping we're talking about? Revelation 14:16. And he sat on the cloud, thrust in his sickle in the earth, and the earth was reaped. Yeah, pretty amazing what's going to come down. What an amazing time that will be. Perhaps some of us alive today will get to see that. Verse 30. But let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Let's read Revelation, another verse. Revelation 14, 19. And the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Yeah, we see in the future exactly what's going to happen. God's going to send his reaping angels, and they will make the decision because of what God has done between tares and wheat. And I noted this before, I think in an earlier Matthew verse-by-verse section. I want to note it again. It's really important. I grew up an old farm kid. I grew up around gardens, fruit trees, everything. I used to always think of a harvest as just bringing in the fruit. I used to think of the harvest as just bringing in the fruit, vegetables or grain or whatever. But you know what? This parable is not about that, and neither is reality. We're talking about wheat here, right? You ever see a farmer go out in a wheat field? He doesn't just harvest the wheat. He doesn't just like shake the weed seeds off. Nope. That machine goes out and it cuts everything. If there's weeds there, it cuts them. It cuts the stalk of the wheat plant. It takes the seed off. It separates the seed, the wheat, from all the chaff, from all the weeds, from all the stalks. And it separates them. But what I'm going to say to you is, they're both a harvest. The good fruit and the wasteful chaff that gets tossed away and often burned or just used as fertilizer has no great value. Interesting, isn't it? The harvest. It's not just about fruit or wheat or vegetables. It's also about taking up everything and then separating the two out. And it says, the tares are sent into the fire. That's a picture of hell and judgment. But the wheat is taken into the master's barn. The fruit, the wheat, is taken into the master's barn. That's obviously a picture of heaven. What did Jesus say? We're to be a tree with much fruit. Yeah, we're set for heaven if we have that, because he's divine, we're the branches. A branch without much fruit is not going to make it into the kingdom. It's going to be cut off, as John 15 tells us, and cast into the fire. So this goes with the line of thinking about the profitable servant that we are to be of God, and like the parable of talents versus a useless, lazy sluggard. Proverbs 10:26, as vinegar to the teeth, as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. So wheat and tares, are you profitable? Are you fruit? Or are you something to be discarded, not of God? It's all something to consider, isn't it? When we, the people of God, separate, let's go back to the separation from sinful believers, possibly tares, we're not sure what they'll turn out to be. We're not determining their final state. I want to be clear there. We're not saying, hey, you're a tare, we're plucking you out, throwing you into hell forever. That's not our job. We're never to make that condemnation judgment. We're to make judgments about sin and righteousness in the body. We're just obeying God and calling them out of their sin, calling them to repent, denying them local fellowship in the body in the hope to redeem them. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Everything should be done for redemption. It's not our call. Who's a wheat? Who's a tare in eternity? Because eternity is not here yet. But we test and we judge fruit. We see sin that's willful and open, first in ourselves, then in other claimed saints. And then we make righteous judgment. Read about that in Matthew chapter 7. So much of this parable, or this, I should say, this section of Matthew 13 in this parable, was showing us about the truth of the sower sowing seeds into the field. We're getting the idea of what the field is, what the seeds were. We learned about the those fall by the wayside. We learned about those that fell on the rocky ground. We learned about those that fell in the thorny ground. We learned about those that fell on good soil. And this parable we just read about here is ultimately leading to when all these things grow up and come together, and through time and through the production of fruit and through everything having its time and purpose and place, God is going to make the determination of wheat and tares. That's not our job. Our job is to live our life in holy obedience unto our God, and then we're to hold brothers and sisters that claim him that we're in fellowship with to the word of God, and then use discipline when they're outside of the word of God. But that reaping and that final destination of your wheat come into the barn and into eternity with the Father, or your tare, bind them up and burn them, that's not our determination to make. That is of God and through his angels. That's all going to be reaped out. And so we can use this parable as a great, great life lesson. What do we want to be? Wheat? Do we want to be questionable? Maybe you're a tare. Or if we're found to be tares, we're going to be cast away and burned up. What glorifies the Father? A field full of wheat, ready for a good harvest. Jesus said, the harvest is plenty, the workers are few. I see that in a new light now. I used to think, wow, that means there's a whole bunch of people that are going to get harvested for heaven. Well, there will be a lot of people in heaven because billions have lived over the time since creation. But Jesus said there'll be very few. I realize that there's going to be a lot more people that are tares and cast away. And a worker of God is just playing his part, first living out his own faith, then spreading seeds, and then helping others grow, but then ultimately people and the Holy Spirit and the Word and God is the final determination of what's a wheat and what's a tare. So let's learn from this parable, but let's not take it too far and start thinking we know who is who. The only person you can know about is you. What's your intent of your heart? What are you living for? I hope you're striving to be the wheat of God. We're here to help you and encourage you all we can. We're going to leave it right there after verse 30 because it starts into another little area here talking about the parable of a mustard seed. So we're going to stop there and we will pick up again next time in Matthew 13. Hope this has been a blessing to you. Check out don'tperish.com as always. All our resources. Let us know how we can help you in faith. We want you to grow up and to be fruitful and be a great harvest unto God. We don't want you to be cast away as a tare, questionable, not glorifying the Father. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. God be praised.